Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to 1804. This is episode 18-04 of Radio Free Redoubt. Hope you guys have had a blessed weekend and a blessed week. Thank you guys for tuning in across the free zones in the American Redoubt and our friends in other free zones that are strategically relocating and strengthening those conservative regions. And also, those of you outside the wire in occupied territory, thank you guys also for being out there. All right, it is. There's a lot of stuff we're going to cover. I'm going to pick up where I left off from running out of time yesterday on the show on KTW. An op-ed piece or a contributing piece. I guess it was in the opinion section, but my goodness, they put it all together. It'd cover an entire full page, but somebody's got a problem with liberty, and they're saying they're going to hole up in a compound and threatening Christians to stay on their compounds. I guess. Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. Pretty wild stuff, but hey, liberty is advancing, and that just bothers some people. Well, we're not going to let it bother us. We're going to continue on because it is a necessity. Now, I mentioned we were going to be covering one-time pads, but I got some emails this week from some folks that this is pretty new to. And now we do have some good material out there for learning how to do the one-time pads. But what's come up in the last week or two is people saying, can you please produce an instructional video, a YouTube video for under Amron with the other videos to show us step-by-step how to do one-time pads. Well, because I've had so many of these come in, I thought, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that for you because the materials that are out there, if you want to take the initiative, go to radiofreeredoubt.com or amron.com and just type in one-time pad. Unbreakable encryption, old school method that still works today. And we've had a lot of fun with that. And we do that on Radio Free Redoubt, messages to the partisans out there. So I mentioned this yesterday, I have some new software. I am going to begin producing a lot more instructional videos, especially for emergency communications, and start picking up where we left off. There's a lot of things that's being picked up, but it's slower than I thought it would be. It is. I was a little overambitious as far as what I thought I was going to be capable of doing, kind of climbing out of this hole this pit that I was hurled into in the last 6 months. And so it's not spring back out onto my feet like I thought it was going to be type of situation. So thank you for your patience and bearing with me and for your prayers and your support, as this kind of healing process takes place and things are, you know, it's going to take a while before things are normalized again. So, that's where we're at. So, thank you guys for your patience. But one of the things I'm going to be adding to that is the videos and more instructional videos and taking to the field with emergency communications. And actually, there's several cool projects that are in the works right now that we're looking forward to this year. But at the top of the priority list is instructional videos. That one-time pad instructional video is going to be the first one. And then we are going to be covering nets, conducting nets, participating in nets, and net control duties. Digital communications, all of that we have to look forward to. So I'll keep you posted on that stuff. So this week I should be able to have that one-time pad exercise video produced, completed, and in time for us to actually do a one-time pad exercise over the air here on Radio Free Redoubt. So pretty cool stuff. Now, another announcement before I get to the news. Jordan Page concert was scheduled for this coming the 3rd of February. That has been postponed. He contacted me. There were several logistical things that were not lining up. He said, I just need more breathing room. And so we're going to push for later March. We're going to work with Jordan on that. And that will still probably be in the same place in the Spokane Valley. But we'll keep you posted on that as we learn more. So right now, the Jordan Page concert has been postponed temporarily. It will not be this Saturday, February 3rd, coming up. So make a note of that. Also make a note of this. With our new VoiceStream HD Pro that we're streaming on right now, we have a number for those your friends who don't have internet, or if their internet goes out, or if they have problems with it streaming, maybe they have a low bandwidth or something like that, you can call in. Most of our cell phones now have unlimited talk and text, so you can call in. That 857, here's the number, prepare to copy. I'm going to give it to you. And that number is area code 857-757-1085. Again, it's 857-757-1085. Put that in your contacts, RFR live stream number. Anytime we're live streaming, covering live events, or on our Sunday evenings, we will be streaming like we did last week at the rally. And by the way, I've got another one to bring to you, Mark Herr from the Center for Self-Governance. I got to take his level one, level two course. Actually, he taught that himself. And so it was a privilege of working with him on Liberty State stuff, and then to be able to sit in on his class. It was a real treat. I highly recommend that. Maybe if I get time, I will talk about that a little bit more tonight. But let's get down to the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series, with all 10 books out, including the audio versions of those. The U.S. is heading for a 3% growth trifecta on spending. This is coming from White House, or the White House posted this, but originally from Bloomberg News. The U.S. economy continues to accelerate with the longest stretch of 3% or better growth since 2005. Yes, that's way before the previous president, who will not be named, was sitting in the Oval Office. American consumer confidence, business investment, and a rebound in housing all led to strong numbers. Tax cuts championed by President Donald Trump have fueled expectations of an extended boom in capital spending and buoyed household confidence. Good one. Another one from the White House. This originated from Reuters. This week, the United States announced new sanctions on North Korea aimed at stopping the country's nuclear weapons development. The sanctions are also urging China and Russia to expel North Koreans who raise funds for these programs. We'll see. All we can do is reach out and ask for their cooperation, right? But whether or not Russia or China will actually follow through with that, well, the pressure is being put on them right now. Here's some encouraging news. The Young America Foundation, or YAF, you can go to YAF.org for the young patriots in your life. Get them plugged into this. Really good. But the YAF chapter at the University of Buffalo made an appearance at an event sponsored by the Young Democratic Socialists of America. In other words, communists on American soil. They had this event sponsored, which after they realized they weren't presenting themselves before the usual band of snowflakes and the Young America Foundation stepped up, they decided to shut down the event rather than embarrass themselves in debate. So, yes, we do need more of this. Throwing a few bucks their way couldn't hurt, help support that organization. It's also not a bad idea to research what chapters of YAF exist at the schools in your area. Yes, they're young, but from what we see during the question and answer sessions following the YAF-sponsored speaking events, there's hope for our nation. Thank you for the listener who sent that one in. I didn't even catch that one. Good one. Oh, what do we get? Oh, this is, thank goodness for Readout News putting this up here. Redoubt News threw a letter up onto their website that was sent out widely across all of the citizens of Idaho who are on that mailing list from Congressman Raul Labrador. He says prosecutorial abuse must never be tolerated. And what he's talking about is his rebuke against the federal government in their handling of the case with the Malheur Refuge standoff situation, and especially the Bundy Ranch situation. He says it took too long, but our legal system delivered a blow in favor of justice. So it delivered a blow against injustice, it should probably actually say. This month, when a federal judge in Nevada dismissed charges against rancher Cliven Bundy, his two sons, and a fourth man, the government alleged they led an armed rebellion against the United States, charging them with conspiracy, extortion, using firearms in the commission of crimes, assault, threatening federal officers, and other felonies. But U.S. District Judge Gloria Navarro dismissed the charges, citing outrageous, quote unquote, misconduct by federal prosecutors that also, quote, violated due process rights, unquote. Actually, what they did was a criminal. So, what does he sit on? Let me see if I can find it. It is, he sits on one of these, the Congress will hold the BLM accountable. This is where he says, Raul Labrador says, I am a member of the House Natural Resources Committee, which has asked the BLM director to address the Bundy case and how to restore trust in the agent's ability to effectively enforce the law. Okay, that's good, but no, we don't want to ask the BLM to look into seeing how they can make sure that they restore trust in the American people. No, no, no. Congressman, aspiring governor of Idaho, you didn't really want to take action until pressure was put on you by citizens who got engaged. By the way, Center for Self-Governance graduates, level 5 graduates, actually put this letter together, came alongside of some legislators who are Center for Self-Governance graduates, teaching you how to, learning how to get engaged and affect change in your government. It's an awesome civics class. Well, it worked. They put the pressure, and eventually Congressman Raul Labrador could not ignore it anymore. He was forced to take action. Now he's writing this letter saying, shame on you, which is good, but he blew these people off for a long time until it finally got to the point where he could not ignore it anymore. If you want to earn our trust, Raul Labrador, you need to be more proactive about these things and not find yourself in hot water and then decide to take a stance for justice and against injustice when it comes to the federal government. So we're thankful that you're stepping up, that you're doing the right thing, but it was several cases of you refusing to do anything about this miscarriage of justice until the pressure was on. So I'll give you a chance to redeem yourself. You want to be the governor of the state, you're going to have to earn the people's their confidence of this state of Idaho. Or these people are looking up to you. They're watching closely, and they're not going to forget. Now, Oregon Live broke this, and actually I got a text about 2 hours before this broke saying, hey, heads up, in 2 hours from now, Jeanette Finicum, the widow of Lavoie Finicum, the cowboy that was shot down in Oregon, they have filed a wrongful death lawsuit against United States, against the FBI, the Oregon State Police, the U.S. Bureau of Land Management, Oregon's governor, and others on the second anniversary of his death just this week, January 26th. That was put out Friday. So the complaint claims Finicum was shot assassination style by one or more militarized officers of the Oregon State Police and or FBI as he was trying to drive across the county border to seek protection of the Grant County Sheriff, Glenn Palmer. So he was not running from law enforcement. He was running toward law enforcement. They set up a dead man's roadblock, and that is considered use of lethal force. So they got a really good chance in this lawful death lawsuit. He has not had his day in court like the others have. They've been all been vindicated, but LaVoy has not had his day, and that's what they're shooting for. So, also, finally, in two more here. Fox News: Washington State Governor warns Driver's Licensing Bureau not to help ICE. Here's another one. Democratic Governor Jay Inslee of Washington State recently learned the state's Department of Licensing was sharing information with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, as they should. It prompted Inslee to put up his own wall to block any future cooperation and protect those in the country illegally. So hopefully he'll find himself in handcuffs, because that is something that constitutionally very clearly does fall within the jurisdiction of the federal government. That is one of their duties. So you're interfering with that, Governor. And then finally, in the American Redoubt, also, State of Jefferson. If you haven't seen this interview from Liberty State News, their first debut coverage of Liberty State-related topics, that is over there at, it's at libertystate.org. We've also posted on radioforredoubt.com and our Facebook pages. So check that out. Very nicely done for the very first one. I'm sure many more to come. And it was exciting being part of that. That was pretty cool. So I think we're going to see a lot more coverage of some of these stories that concern us, those who are in favor of liberty, and especially Liberty State. But that was an interview with some representatives from the state of Jefferson who attended last week's rally. It caught them during an exit interview, and so that is up over there. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back with segment two in just a moment. We're going to talk about bigotry and liberty. This opinion piece that we left off from yesterday, we're going to pick up kind of where we left off. There's some other things I wanted to address, and I'm going to do that in just a few moments. Stick around.
We are an exceptional country. Our religion, and I will say it, is exceptional. That's what made us great. So don't be afraid to talk about it, because that's what it means to be an American. The world is looking to us for leadership. Not President Obama, us. The people in Ukraine aren't looking to the federal government. They're looking to all these local governments for leadership. And it's going to come from us.
We're back with segment two, which is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots get strategically relocated to the northernmost part of the panhandle of Idaho. If that's where you're looking to move to, check them out at selkirkmountainrealestate.com. Now, there is a local paper out of northeastern Washington, specifically outside of the, I think they're out of Colville. So, the Statesman Examiner, they did a good job writing this article. They did a good job writing an article that was on the front page. But in their printed version, which I have not been able to find online yet, they have a guest opinion piece here, which is spread out over two pages. But if you put it all together, it would take an entire full page. Just how much room they gave him. And he starts off this article with, "Bigotry is not my definition of liberty." He's talking about Liberty State. And, of course, he's talking about liberty. We're going to talk about those things. Bigotry is not my definition of liberty. And he goes on basically ripping on the Christian influence of the Christian influence behind Liberty State from this intellectually superior position. So let's talk about liberty. What is liberty? Because and there's a group of us in a discussion last week. Mark Herr from the Center for Self-Governance and myself and about five or six others, patriot leaders in the patriot community, were discussing this, and we got into this debate about freedom versus liberty and defining each. And it is more obscure than you might think. They're not the same thing, but what's the difference? Well, I had to do some research this week to kind of help me out with this. And Mark, he's so brilliant. He's amazing, and he's been researching this stuff for a long time. He knows far more about those different states' constitutions and even the federal constitution than I do, by far. So I've learned a lot from him, but of course, just like the founding fathers, we don't always agree on everything. So we got this little head-butting thing going on over liberty versus freedom and defining it. But it's a great, energizing debate. I mean, we love each other. We care about each other. We're on the same team. But it was a cool exchange. And it challenged me to make me, dig a little deeper. Why do I stand? So there's these people out here that hate the Christian influence. They're calling it bigotry. If it's Christian influence involved in anything today with politics, it's automatically bigotry. Not my idea of liberty. Well, let's talk about this. First, we're going to define liberty, and then we're going to define bigotry. In this article, he says, I believe in freedom and individual liberty. So the idea of people standing up and making something of their own, free of what's become a divisive and agenda-driven political narrative, I could hardly wait to find out more about this state of liberty. He's presenting himself as open-minded and objective. So he says he gets onto the Facebook 51st State page, and he was granted access. And the following day, he says he immediately began asking questions. Huh. What kind of questions? Well, he says, how far do the founders of this movement extend their acceptance of another person's liberty? Can you tell where this is going? Even if they disagree with it. As examples, I offered gay marriage and someone standing on the flag. Now, this is where he says, of course, this is where somebody's going to stand with you or against you. They're going to immediately offer this homosexual marriage issue is the wedge. That's what's going to separate the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the chaff. This is going to do it. So as soon as they start pressing, where do you stand on this? Are you going to strip somebody else's liberty away because you're against homosexual marriage? This is where it usually starts. He says, now, mind you, I did not ask if they supported the act of, homosexuality. He said, don't confuse acceptance with condoning. So he says, personally, I don't understand gay marriage in the sense that I'm married. I'm married to a man. I mean, I'm married to a woman. I'm attracted to women. All right. So I don't understand it, but I want to know where you guys stand. Why? Why would you? Because this guy has a strong, from the history that I've seen on his online tactics, I've seen a long-standing pattern of anti-Christian sentiment. And they'll use, even whether they're homosexual or not, or support it or not, they will use that topic to lure in the Christians to see where they stand. And then, oh, so you're against liberty. I can't support you if you're not going to support somebody else's right to blah, 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 blah. So for them, it's not even the homosexual issue. It's the looking for the opportunity to pick a fight to create and highlight the division between the Christians and the anti-Christians. And of course, to make out Christians as being bigots. So he poses this, but he's actually exposed as a bigot in his own article, which I'm going to point out. He goes on to say, name one right of yours that is infringed upon by way of gay people getting married. Take your time. I'll wait. Okay. Nice smug thing there, but I'm so glad that you asked to give you some examples. All right. Where is it? How about Baronelle Stutzman from the Tri-Cities, an elderly lady who owns a flower shop, who a couple homosexuals come in and want her to provide bouquets of flowers for their so-called wedding. And she says, I can't do that. That's against my moral conscience. That goes against my religious beliefs. I'm sorry, I can't do that for you. I'll sell you flowers, but I'll give you a list of people who might be able to help you, but I can't. That wasn't good enough. And the state of Washington, another reason for separating, state of Washington's attorney general led the way on the threats of prosecuting her, taking her business away, and basically running her into the ground for following her moral conscience. I can give you another example where rights were infringed upon by way of gay people getting married, since you asked. How about Donald and Evelyn Knapp, who owned the Hitching Post marriage wedding hall across from the courthouse in Coeur d'Alene? They said that performing same-sex wedding ceremonies would thus force the Knapps to condone or promote and even consecrate something forbidden by their religious beliefs and ordination vows, their lawsuit read when they filed a lawsuit against the city of Coeur d'Alene. Because the city of Coeur d'Alene has passed an ordinance prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation back in 2013. And Washington State did the same thing in December of 2012. So there's two examples where rights of people were infringed upon by way of gay people getting married. So there you go. I didn't have to take my time. Those came to the top of my head because why? Those are right here in the American Redoubt. But there is a long train of abuses in this area. Oh, you're asking what of your rights have been infringed upon. Okay, so have any of my personal rights been infringed upon because of the homosexual agenda? No, not personally. But I'm not going to wait for me to be attacked. So history warns us not to wait until they come for us. When you stand for liberty is when they come to take your neighbor's liberty. Before they come to take yours. Martin Niemöller wrote a poem that you've probably all heard before. I'm going to read it again. It's called First They Came for the Socialists. And this is posted actually in the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. What rights have you lost because of the homosexual agenda? What rights have you lost because of this or that? Well, there are people, that's not me, but it was other people who have already been persecuted because of their faith for standing against sexual deviancy. So I'm not going to wait until they come after me, until my liberty's lost, until I'm under attack, when my neighbors are under attack. Facing oppression, I'm going to rise up and stand with them, and I'm going to advocate for them, and I'll fight with them against this injustice. But this is Niemöller's poem. He says, first they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. And then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak out because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. So when we come back, we're going to define liberty. We need to know what that word means. It's not just the name of a state. It's not just the name of words of our founding fathers' writings and musings. There's reasons for it. We need to know why we stand for it, especially when others try to use that word to push us into a corner and rob us of our liberty in the name of defending their liberties. So stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
All right, this is segment three, brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Go to strategiclandscapedesign.com to learn more about designs to keep you safe and help you thrive on your property. If you're planning your property, you want to be strategic about it as far as food supply, water access, sustainability, your water rights, energy production, defensibility, all of that, get a hold of strategiclandscapedesign.com. So picking up where we left off, let's talk about liberty. What is the definition of liberty? This was a really good discussion. If you go to Merriam-Webster, let's pick that one off the top. It seems to be the most popular, although it seems to, you know, morphs a lot with time. But these are their definitions of liberty. The quality or state of being free. A, the power to do as one pleases. B, freedom from physical restraint. C, freedom from arbitrary or despotic control. I love that one. That one really resonates with me. That's what I think of when I think of liberty. Freedom from arbitrary or despotic control. And the positive enjoyment of various social, political, or economic rights and privileges. The power of choice. Okay, so that's pretty ambiguous. It leaves a lot open. Pretty much, I can do whatever I want, right? But there are limitations to this. Now, if you want to really look at what definition, especially from a legal standpoint, I recommend Black's Law Dictionary. You can go to thelawdictionary.org, and it's the Law Dictionary featuring the Black's Law Dictionary free online edition. Okay, so what is liberty? According to Black's Law Dictionary, freedom, exemption from, what is liberty? Freedom, exemption from extraneous control. The power of the will in its moral freedom, to follow the dictates of its unrestricted choice and to direct the external acts of the individual without restraint, coercion, or control from other persons. That's liberty. Exemption from extraneous control. The power of the will in its moral freedom to follow the dictates of its unrestricted choice and to direct the external acts of the individual without restraint, coercion, or control from other persons. Now, this is really interesting here because if you looked at Wikipedia, this is what influenced my understanding of liberty. Now, Wikipedia, first before I get to that, Wikipedia says, generally, liberty is distinctly differentiated from freedom in that freedom is primarily, if not exclusively, the ability to do as one wills and what one has the power to do. Whereas liberty concerns the absence of arbitrary restraints and takes into account the rights of all involved. As such, the exercise of liberty is subject to capability and limited by the rights of others. So, John Stuart Mill, in his work On Liberty, he wrote On Liberty, was the first to recognize the difference between liberty as the freedom to act and liberty as the absence of coercion. And that's what we're talking about. The absence of coercion, true liberty. And those, even the Christians in Liberty State aren't looking to coerce someone else to follow Christianity. They want to be free from coercion to follow their faith. In his book, Two Concepts of Liberty, Isaiah Berlin formally framed the differences between these two perspectives as the distinction between two opposite concepts of liberty, positive liberty and negative liberty. The latter designates a negative condition in which the individual is protected from tyranny and the arbitrary exercise of authority, while the former refers to the liberty that comes from self-mastery, the freedom from inner compulsions such as weakness and fear. Okay, so basically the difference between liberty and freedom is that the difference between liberty as the freedom to act and liberty as the absence of coercion. So freedom is the ability to act and liberty is the absence of coercion. Does that make sense? What we are looking for is a world free from coercion. And when you come and force somebody to violate their moral conscience, that is coercion, that's tyranny, and it's the opposite of liberty. Hope that makes sense. Now, some people have mentioned, well, hey, maybe we should just go ahead and, do like Alabama. You know, Alabama Senate recently passed a bill, 19-1, that would get rid of marriage licenses. Probate judges would just record civil contracts of marriage based on signed affidavits. But that's really a Band-Aid because you're talking about a moral issue here. And as much as you try to tap dance around it, it's still going to be something that is going to be you at some point. There's other ways I don't have time to get into right now. You will be coerced to accept homosexuals coming into your business asking you to perform a service for them and for their marriage, for example, which violates your moral conscience, no matter what they call it. So we're going to celebrate our civil union together. Okay, we're not calling it marriage. The government's out of that. Well, they want to have a celebration with all of their friends, and they want you to come and bake a cake for it. And you can't participate in that because it violates your moral conscience. So you're still going to be confronted with it. Okay, let's get back to the opinion piece. Despite his objections to Christian influence in the forming of a new state, he says, I will still attend to listen to this rally, but I'm avidly against this proposed 51st state of liberty, which appears to be amounting to little more than a proposed religious state, not unlike those found in the Middle East, which are not exactly pillars of freedom or individual liberty. So he's comparing returning back to our Christian heritage, returning it to what it was before the hardcore leftists coerced the system to force people to violate the moral conscience. We want to return back to a place where Christians can conduct business without being persecuted. And they're going to equate that to what, ISIS or the Islamic State? What was it like in 2012? Before homosexual marriage was recognized as legal in Washington State, was it a Christian caliphate? No, it wasn't. It's just that prior to that date, Christians weren't being threatened with lawsuits and jail and the loss of their businesses for refusing to violate their moral conscience. That's what we're asking to return to. And it's interesting that they would compare Christian influence to us trying to start a Islamic state, a Christian version, right? When it's interesting because these same type of people are the same ones that are pushing for bringing in Muslim refugees into these communities where they are the Islamification of whole communities. And if you stand against it, they call you a Islamophobe. And if they are successful in accomplishing what they're trying to accomplish and pave the way for Muslims to come into these communities and become dominant, they will lose all the liberties they claim to be fighting for by fighting against Christians. There's a serious mental disconnect in the way these kind of people think. So this is what he, check this out. Are these threats? Because this is what he writes. I would recommend the people intent on seeing this liberty state happen, get comfortable with the compounds they undoubtedly occupy now. What? Okay. So Christians are, we're all on compounds, I guess. So he's saying get comfortable with it. He says, not because I'm saying you can't have your state, but because your proposed boundaries of said state include my land, that isn't happening. This is really strange thinking. He says, you need to purchase your own land or continue to cultivate what you have now along with your beliefs, have meetings, shoot marbles, whatever it is you do out there. But don't think that you will be including my property into your state of anti-liberty. So when Liberty State forms, he's going to exclude his properties, 20 acres, because this is what he says. If for some reason you are successful in your bid, I want to let every single gay person and gay couple know that you're welcome on my land. There is 20 acres just north of Noisy Waters that welcomes you. If the religious zealots, in other words, Christians, that are proposing this religion-based state of liberty, if they come and annex my land as theirs, that is where we can stand together and remind them of what the principles of liberty were enacted for, to defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So if the largely demographic Christians form their own state, he's going to consider those enemies and warn them to get comfortable on their compound. So he's warning them to stay on your property if this becomes a state. And he's also calling for, he's using this newspaper, the Statesman Examiner, as a platform to call for militant homosexuals to join him to form a compound where they are going to prepare for war against Christians. Statesman Examiner, I don't know who's in charge of your editing, but do you realize that you just allowed somebody to threaten the demographic majority, the religious majority group in your community and across this state by taking, by forming a militant compound of homosexuals that they are going to prepare to go, obviously, to war with, because they're talking about defending against all enemies, foreign and domestic. They're talking about, that sounds like armed conflict. Do you realize what he's trying to do is recruit people onto this compound that he wants to form to threaten those who want to return to our Christian heritage? Now, let me also point something else out, because I got my hands on an actual copy. It's not just a photographed version of this print paper, because I've got the actual printed paper. And this article is directly across from a full page listing of all the Christian churches in Stevens County. So he makes this anti-Christian statement about forming a compound of homosexual militants, and he's asking for people to join him to prepare to go to war against what he calls enemies on that, on his opinion piece, which is printed directly opposite of an entire full-page listing of all the churches in Stevens County. Is that not offensive? And all of his words, somebody, I don't know if this happened at the newspaper, he decided to add a little bit of visual something enhancement by adding the Statue of Liberty with his words woven through the Statue of Liberty in his article. Did he request that? Did he send this picture of the Statue of Liberty saying, please include this in my article? Or is that the artistic license that you took there at the newspaper to wrap threats against Christians, wrapping the words around a picture of the Statue of Liberty? Who's responsible for that statement, Statesman Examiner? Using your paper as a platform for recruiting militants to threaten Christians and warning them to stay on their compound, stay on their property, and referring to them as enemies. Statesman Examiner, you better more closely examine your newspapers and what kind of crap people are putting in there. Because 73 to 75% of the people in this side of the state are for Liberty State. You just offended upwards of three quarters of your readership, most likely. Something to think about. So he calls these Christians that want to return to our heritage to a time when we didn't have laws forced upon us that would coerce us to violate our moral conscience. And we want to stand against that, and he calls us bigots. But what's a bigot? Definition of bigot. I just looked it up. A person who is obstinately or intolerantly devoted to his or her own opinions and prejudices, especially one who regards or treats the members of a group, such as racial or ethnic group, with hatred and intolerance. You, sir, are a bigot. And the Statesman Examiner helped print his bigotry. While falsely accusing others of being bigots who truly are looking for liberty, against and free of coercion and arbitrary despotism. That's what the movement of the Liberty State is all about. But hey, you're not going to make everybody happy. You got 12 people all cranked up over what a million people want. You just can't make everyone happy. So the Liberty State movement marches on. It's building momentum all the time. It is unstoppable. It is exciting to see this unfolding. And I'm so grateful to be a part of it. Now, before we break, I want to talk about this oath that he says he's standing for. Semper Fi to the oath, he says. Well, to Marines, and they're upset. To the Marines, Semper Fi, that means always faithful. Always faithful to what? Ask a Marine. They'll tell you what that means. To be faithful to what? They'll tell you God and country. Every Marine, I almost went in the Marines. Sometimes, oh my gosh, I wish I would have. But I love the experience that I had. It was amazing. I wouldn't trade it. But I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for the Marines. I think it's the only real branch of the military we've got left. So this guy says Semper Fi to this just caustic, anti-Christian, venomous piece that he puts in. If anything is a violation of the Constitution, of the oath that you took to defend the Constitution, It's look at the principles that that was founded on is religious persecution that was the impetus for our country becoming what it became. And now he's talking about going after targeting religious people. And then he says, Semper Fi. What a twisted mind. Amazing. And there's some Marines that were, oh my gosh, they're just like, you're just torqued. Who is this guy? This guy did not make any friends among his fellow Marines. My goodness. But hey, he's going to have to own it. But you're going to defend the Constitution. Let's take a look at what the Washington State Constitution has to say in Section 11 of the Washington State Constitution. It covers religious freedom. It is one of the most beautifully written religious freedom clauses in any of the state's constitutions that I'm aware of. And this is what it says. Absolute freedom of conscience in conscience. Let me start over. Absolute freedom in conscience in all matters of religious sentiment, belief, and worship shall be guaranteed to every individual, and no one shall be molested or disturbed in person or property on account of religion. But the liberty of conscience hereby secured shall not be so construed as to excuse acts of licentiousness or justify practices inconsistent with the peace and safety of the state. In other words, a Muslim can't say, it is my duty, the Quran says, to go forth and smite thee and chop off your head. No, you don't. You don't get to do that and say, that's my religious freedom. But to force somebody to violate the moral conscience? This is very clearly a biblical principle. No public money or property shall be appropriated for or applied to any religious worship, exercise, or instruction, or the support of any religious establishment. Provided, however, that this article shall not be so construed as to forbid the employment by the state of a chaplain or such of the state custodial, correctional, mental institutions, on and on and on. No religious qualification shall be required for any public office or employment, nor shall any person be incompetent as a witness or juror because of their faith, in consequence of his opinion on matters of religion, nor be questioned in any court or justice touching his religious belief to affect the weight of his testimony. Interesting, isn't it? It's pretty darn clear. You're going to be faithful to defending and upholding the Constitution. I know in the Marines is the federal Constitution. But the law of the land in Washington is the state constitution, and the government there is inviolent. They're in violation of it in endless ways. And that is why it is time for the 51st state or the 55th state. Who cares? Now it's time for Liberty State, for people to rule themselves, free from those with ideals that are in direct conflict with the supermajority of the demographic of the people who still holds the traditional American ideals. Segment 4 coming up with Mark Herr, and then we'll close it out.
I've often heard atheists and so-called progressives argue that the founders weren't Christians and that this was never a Christian nation. They like to say that men like Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson were deists. Well, so what if they were deists? Being a deist simply means that God doesn't interfere with the affairs of men. But after seeing God's hand in the making of their newly won nation, they gave God full credit. In a letter to William Strahan in 1784, Benjamin Franklin said this, "My dear friend, do not imagine that I am vain enough to ascribe our success," he was speaking about the revolution, "to any superiority on their part. If it had not been for the justice of our cause and the consequent interposition of Providence in which we had faith, we must have been ruined. If I had ever before been an atheist, I should now have been convinced of the being and government of a deity." And Thomas Jefferson wrote this, "Of all the systems of morality, ancient or modern, which have come under my observation, none appears to me so pure as that of Jesus. I am a real Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus." Don't believe the lies of the revisionist historians. They'll deceive you every time if you don't know the truth. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Whatever happened to the fear of God? Whatever happened to church on Sunday? Whatever happened to the velvet glove and the iron fist? Good old-fashioned brutality.
Okay, segment four here, brought to you by Works Holsters, Works LLC. That's WERKZ.com for your inside the waistband, outside the waistband holsters with a lifetime guarantee on all their products made right here in the American Redoubt. Okay, I'm going to just go ahead and close this out. This will be a presentation by Mark Herr from Center for Self-Governance, and I'll be introduced by the MC there, Renee Holiday. And she'll be introducing him, and then I'll go ahead and close out the show. So you guys have a blessed week this week. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the support, the encouragement, and the letters, all of that. You guys are just amazing, absolutely amazing. I love you lots. All right, be praying over me, and I'll be praying over for all of you as well, and for the leadership of Liberty State and all the pockets of resistance against tyranny, wherever they are. Pray for all of us for wisdom, discernment, courage, and yeah, that's all I can say. Okay, God bless. Turn this over.
The greatest danger to American freedom is a government that ignores the Constitution, said Thomas Jefferson. You know, that is major right there. We need to keep that in mind because we're seeing so much of that in Olympia right now where they're not wanting to uphold the Constitution. Where, for instance, my property rights group and I, we started with the express goal to actually work against a massively unconstitutional undertaking by the Department of Ecology where they had hoped to go ahead and institute buffers along all our waterways. Well, that right there, that one thing alone that they were going to try to do here in Stevens County actually violated 11 state and federal constitutional laws. So that all started in 2014, and we've just been working diligently against those kind of things ever since. And so with that, I would like to introduce our next speaker, who is a phenomenon that we've come to know in our 51st State Committee. He is the co-founder of the Center for Self-Governance. He is a Constitution expert, and if any of you would care to write down his website, go ahead and do so right now. It is the www.centerforselfgovernance.com. Would you all please welcome Mark Herr.
Thank you. Thanks, Renee. So, how many of you guys like liberty? A show of hands here of those who hate liberty. Well, liberty is something that people have been striving for thousands of years, right? And here we are in 2018 striving for the exact same thing. That's why you're all here. You want liberty, right? And so, there's something... You're saying there's something wrong, and there's people who disagree with you. They disagree with you. They say, it's not really liberty you want for, it's more slavery you want for. Is that what you guys want more, is more slavery? On May 7th, 1776, a woman who couldn't vote or hold office, she wrote a letter to her husband and influenced the Declaration of Independence. For the first time in world history, government, according to this woman, was seen as an object and not a beast. How many of you guys think government's a beast in 2018? Well, this woman would disagree with you. On May 7, 1776, she wrote this letter to her husband, and he was part of the committee to write the Declaration of Independence. And in her letter, she said, a government of more stability is wanted. How many of you guys want a government of more stability? Is that the reason you're here? How many of you guys want a government of more instability? Right? Doesn't it feel like in the 21st century that our government seems to be a little bit instable? Or, excuse me, unstable? What's that?
They shut down.
Yeah, that's right. They're shutting it down. And so you're here because you're saying something's not stable and you want stability. You have something in common with this woman from 1776 who 2 months before the Declaration of Independence influenced the content of the Declaration of Independence. She said a government of more stability is wanted in these colonies. And they, the colonists, are ready to receive it from the hands of Congress. For 50,000 bonus points that are worth absolutely nothing. Can anybody tell me who that woman was? Abigail Adams, yes. She wrote her husband John Adams, right? He's the second president of the United States. She wrote him a letter because he was in Philadelphia arguing for independence. Separation from the national government of England. And that's not what we're asking for today, is it? We're not asking for separation from the United States. We're not asking to divorce. What we're asking for is a government of more stability. And that's why you're here, right? Something's not stable. And so the Constitution was written in 1787, 11 years after the Declaration of Independence. So it took time. And then they went through a revolution with the national government of England. And so here we are in the 21st century asking, what does a government of more stability look like? Right? Well, you have an opportunity in the 21st century, a unique opportunity, because in our country there is instability, right? You're here because of that. Renee just described it. Matt is going to give you some examples of it, right? You're experiencing it in your own lives. And so it's not just so much a matter of whether or not we should or shouldn't do this, but you have the right in the 21st century to ask the question, I want for my kids a government of more stability. Do you have the right to ask that question? So when they tell you you don't have the right to ask that question, you need to understand something. The founders of the United States, despite the hypocrisy of slavery and the inability of women to vote at the time, right, and all the things that we're thrown at in our curriculum of public schools today, all those things that are thrown at you to silence you, to say, wait a minute, do I have the right to ask for a government of more stability? And if you don't have that right, guess what you don't have? Liberty. So I urge you all to think about the opportunity in the 21st century that you have. We have this unique opportunity to ask, is the Constitution that we are currently under in the state of Washington sufficient for the growth, production, and manufacturing of liberty? Some of you would say yes, and some of you would say no. Understand that the founders at the time of the Declaration, some said yes for independence and some said no. And that's okay. For those that say no, I encourage you, then write a constitution of sufficient means that matters to you the most. And if you say the Washington Constitution is sufficient, I ask you most humbly to tell me what form of government is Washington State. Is it a democracy? Is it a representative democracy? Is it an oligarchy, a meritocracy, an aristocracy, an oclocracy? Tell me what it is. What was it founded on in 1889 when you became part of the United States of America? That form of government is the most important function of your life because it determines whether or not you get to produce what? It's like an agricultural product. And if the form of government is not sufficient to those means, you have the right as a human being, regardless of the skin color, regardless of your gender, regardless of your sexual preference, you have the right to ask the question, is this a government of more stability? And for someone to take away that right from you, guess what else they took from you? Liberty. The 21st century is a unique opportunity for us in our country and in our states. The state constitutions are one of the most neglected documents in the 50 states of our country. South Carolina is one of the most unique states. They actually declare citizenship for each of their citizens within their state, as well as United States citizenship. Washington doesn't do that. Arizona doesn't do it. California doesn't do it. Only South Carolina. Virginia is one of the most unique states in its form of government. In Article 7, Section 1, Clause 4, it says regional government is an entity created by the General Assembly. Anybody here know what that is? Regional government. What is that? They're one of four constitutions at the state level that creates this jurisdiction called regional government. Arizona, Article 13, Section 5, it allows municipal corporations to engage in any business or enterprise that you engage in. How many of you guys would like Colville to be able to engage in your business too? To compete with you as a natural person? Exactly. California's constitution is unique because in Article 6, it allows the judicial branch of California to act like a legislature. Idaho's constitution is unique because it is the only constitution in the United States that allows its citizens who are landowners to prevent voting on school bonds if you do not own property. Washington is unique because in our constitution, it's all messed up. But how is it messed up? And that's why I would ask those people who say, no, you are wrong for having this conversation or starting this debate. I would tell you this. If you cannot tell me the correct form of government that we were established in 1889, you cannot tell me that our constitution is sufficient in 2018. Because it is not functioning the way it was designed. And that's why these people are here. Because they are concerned that it is not a government of more stability. And isn't that what anybody wants? Is a government of more stability? Anybody here want a government of in or instability? Which form of government do you want? The Constitution matters, and not just the federal Constitution. The state Constitution of Washington matters. And so in this 51st state endeavor of creating or at least promoting the debate for the 21st century, we have a unique opportunity to review the Washington State Constitution and to look at the language in it that produces a government of more stability in the 21st century. And if that's the direction of the 51st state constitution, then I say, sit down and let's have the debate. Why not? There's 39 counties in this state. Local subdivisions like Stevens County, Ferry County, Yakima County, Clark County, Snohomish County, right? They're all citizens of this state of Washington. Why can't we have the discussion? Why would somebody say no to that discussion? Because I know that discussion is wanted for people who say our government is enslaving us still. And how many of us want to go back to the 18th century? How many? I don't want to go back to the 18th century. Anybody here want to wear wigs all day? So our unique opportunity in the 21st century allows us to have that conversation, to look at our Constitution and find out what is insufficient and what is sufficient. And then for the 51st state conversation that we need to have across this state, why can't we create a constitution that would mirror what we think would be a government of more stability? I don't have a problem with that personally. I've been studying all 50 state constitutions for 9 years. There's more problem in our state constitution than there is in the federal constitution. And I don't have enough time to elaborate. But I can tell you that this is a unique opportunity, whether it's 51st State Committee or you as citizens, you look at it for yourself and you identify the words that you don't like, identify the phrases that you do like, and identify the phrases that you feel are missing, and sit down with your neighbors and say, this is a constitution of more stability for the 21st century. Promote that debate. Have that discussion. Because when you lose that, you've lost what? And I can tell you it's worth fighting for. It's worth dying for. And before I ever get to that state, it's worth talking for. And so please don't shut my opportunity for my daughter's sake. The ability to look through our Constitution and find a government of more stability with words and phrases that will produce it as such. So I encourage you all, join in the debate. Join in the discussion. Look through the Washington State Constitution. Identify words that will create a government of more stability for the 21st century. Not just for your sake, for your children's sake, for the next generation's sake, for the United States' sake. And I would even tell you, the rest of the world is watching.